few that landed obviously in the ditch and on the road, but for the most part, of the 30,000, I would say probably 28,000 of it was pretty good fish.
30,000 pounds of free fish makes a slow salmon season up north a little easier. And remembering a former Skagway City manager, it's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. Those stories and more up next. Municipal flags in Skagway were at half-mast on Friday in mourning for former city manager James R. Phillip. Skagway officials proclaimed July 23, 2010, a day of remembrance for Phillip after learning that he died in a tragic accident last fall.
It's just a day of mourning in honor of Jim Phillip, who served the municipality for several years.
Skagway Mayor Tom Cochran.
Well, I think, you know, we're a small town, and when people live here and you get to know them and they spend several years here, it's, you know, I think it's important to honor someone that passed away in a, you know, kind of a early, and you know, there was some pretty weird circumstances around his death, so it was fairly tragic, and we just wanted to honor the family more than anything.
Phillip came to Alaska as a young man to attend the University of Alaska at Fairbanks and stayed in the state for 35 years. He served as a city manager for Skagway from summer of 1992 to 1996. During that time, he led Skagway through recovery after the devastating White Pass dock collapse in 1994.
He was city manager here when we had the big dock collapse, so that was, you know, that was a pretty big deal for this small community, and I think he did a pretty good job of, you know, getting the municipality through it.
67-year-old Phillip had been living in Colorado after leaving Skagway. He was declared missing in November when his wrecked Jeep was located near Snowy Cinnamon Pass near Silverton, Colorado. His body was located last week after a woman found a piece of luggage belonging to Phillip in a snowfield near the wreckage.
Yeah, we just found that out about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, and that's why we decided to do this.
Authorities believe Phillip died in the crash or because of some medical condition that led to the crash. An autopsy is not planned.
I don't think it's going to be an annual thing. It's probably going to be a one-time deal, but we just felt it was important, you know, for the family and for Skagway.
The Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation has denied a request by two conservation groups to review a state permit governing wastewater discharge by cruise ships, setting up the likelihood of a court battle. The permit covers this year, 2011 and 2012, and is required for cruise ships that want to expel treated sewage, as well as sink and shower runoff into state waters. The Campaign to Safeguard America's Waters and Friends of the Earth requested an administrative review of the permit May 19th, saying its pollution standards aren't strong enough. Assistant State Attorney General Lindsay Walter says the review was denied for two reasons. First, the state believes the conservation group lacked standing to request a review. And second, the groups didn't provide a sufficient legal argument that a review was necessary.
Even if the requesters had standing to pursue this appeal, they would not be entitled to a hearing unless they could show that there's an issue of disputed fact material to the decision, or alternatively, a disputed and significant issue of law or policy. And there's no question that there's no issue of fact. The requesters actually point that out in their briefing. So then the analysis shifted to whether or not there was a disputed and significant legal issue, and the decision determined that there is not.
Gershon Cohen with the Campaign to Safeguard America's Waters helped draft the 2006 Cruise Ship Initiative, which ushered in the new wastewater standards. As a citizen of the state, he says he has every right to request an administrative review. He also disagrees that the legal argument wasn't sufficient. Cohen says the standards set up by DEC are too vague.
The law passed by the legislature says that they have to use the best available technology that's economically feasible. The state made no showing at all in their decision-making process to show what was or what was not economically feasible. And so we believe they acted arbitrarily in saying that anything, you know, basically any system that is on a ship now will suffice. So we believe that we're in a very strong position to win if we should go to court.
The groups have 30 days to file an appeal in Superior Court. Cohen says he's currently discussing the matter with his lawyers. DEC's Water Division Director Lynn Kent defends the state's standards.
The folks who appealed the permit have the right to, you know, either drop their pursuit of it or to take it to court. And We'll continue, if they do that, we'll continue to defend the permit that we issued because we do think it's very protective of Alaska waters.
The 2006 voter-approved initiative called for even tougher standards than the permit. In addition to sewage, it required DEC to regulate discharges of ammonia and metals like copper, nickel, and zinc. In 2009, pressure from the cruise ship industry forced the legislature to change the law, delaying the metal limits until 2016. The Alaska Highway is clear after work crews, human scavengers, and a few bears removed more than 30,000 pounds of spilled fish this week. On Monday, a refrigerated truck from Washington State flipped on the highway near the Donjek River, northwest of Whitehorse. Corporal McKellar is with the Royal Canadian Mounted Police near Beaver Creek.
Well, we get the call here in Beaver Creek about 11 o'clock in the morning on the 19th of July that there was a truck accident rolled over near the Donjek River. Turned out to be at kilometer 1753 on the Alaska Highway. Seems the truck was loaded with 30,000 pounds of sockeye and halibut. It was heading south. It was one person in the vehicle, the driver. Somehow got distracted. Vehicle went off the road, rolled over.
The halibut and salmon were thrown all over and around the road, an area populated by grizzly and black bears.
And all the fish basically came out of the vehicle and was in the ditch. So not long after that, we were on scene. Tow vehicles were on scene, ambulance. Driver was fine, minor injuries. The fish didn't fare so well, and the owner of the load didn't really want it because it wasn't refrigerated anymore. So it was basically an open market, which is what it turned out to be. And I think there's fish from Northway to Whitehorse in people's freezers now.
Yukon Conservation Office in Haines Junction is continuing to watch the scene. The group sent two conservation officers to inspect the accident.
A lot of the fish ended up still in boxes, still on ice, still in bags. It's just because it's market fish that the owner didn't want it. And it became basically free fish. And it's, like I said, there's nothing wrong with it. There's a few that landed, obviously, in the ditch and on the road. But for the most part, of the 30,000, I would say probably 28,000 of it was pretty good fish. But he was looking to find out where they're going to go and catch the fish and smoke the fish for the winter, have had their answers to their questions solved.
One report said that some of the fish went to feed people at the First Nations General Assembly gathered nearby.
Actually, I didn't get to see the 30,000. I might have got to see maybe 15,000. I didn't go on scene until the next day, but just huge, large, probably 4x4 foot boxes, cardboard boxes with big bags and full of fish on ice inside. And they had split open, and some went with the truck and the towing vehicles, and some stayed at the scene and in the ditch.
That's Corporal McKellar with the RCMP in Beaver Creek. He was one of the officials who responded to the truck accident that left 30,000 pounds of edible fish all over the Alaska Highway earlier this week.
A buddy of mine that was on the site had actually managed to get a few of the fish himself, said that his buddy took 2 weeks off of work. He works with the guy. He went down to BC to catch fish. He was gone for 2 weeks. He came back with 5 fish. And this guy told him that he went north on the Alaska Highway by the Donjek and got 1,200 pounds of salmon with no hook. So maybe buddy should have taken time off.
It was just the beginning of an odd week for truckers and bear watchers. The next day, a truck in Montana rolled over, throwing about 200 frozen chickens across the road. Firefighters used a truck and a hose to get the chickens off the road. And further east, Canadian wildlife officials are still attempting to tranquilize a black bear that has had a large plastic jar stuck on its head for 2 weeks. The approximately 2-year-old bear is probably surviving off of condensation and sweat dripping into the jar, says Ross Johnston, a conservation officer with Ontario's Ministry of Natural Resources. He also added that he's surprised the bear hasn't just ripped the jar off, saying, quote, "They shred through anything usually, but maybe it's just given up."
Skagway today, the Alaska Department of Fish and Game announced that the saltwater area around the mouth of Pullen Creek will be closed to sport fishing to ensure that broodstock needs will be met. The area that will be closed extends north of a line from a department marker on the Broadway dock to a department marker on the ore dock. This also includes the area off the mouth of Pullen Creek. King salmon returning to Pullen Creek need to migrate into the stream through a culvert that is accessible only during high tides. The department reminds anglers that fresh waters of Southeast Alaska are closed to king salmon fishing. However, Pullen Creek in Skagway must be open to taking king salmon once hatchery broodstock needs have been met. For further information concerning this news release, call 907-766-2625, which is the Division of Sport Fish office in Haines. For KHNS, this is Katie Hicks.
This is Tara Bicknell, reporting for KHNS. Special thanks to Katie Hicks and Casey Kelly for their help with this report. You can get your news by listening to KHNS, but you can also get it online at khns.org.